What does the Bible say? Do y'all know this one? God loves a mad giver. God loves a resentful giver. No, God loves a happy giver. So, well, Pastor Mike, I can't give and be happy. Well, you're going to give and be happy after this message today. Because we're going to find that it's not about money. We're going to find that God has a principle in His Word. How many likes to get paid at the end of the week, though? So you're going to go to work Monday. How you doing, boss man? What if he said, you know what, we're going to cut your pay 90%. How many say, it ain't about the money? You say, Pastor Mike, why are you talking about like that? Well, this is the thing. Why do we get paid at the end of the week? Because we have sowed 40, 50, 60 hours of our time. So look at it this way. We're not getting paid. We're getting reimbursed for our time. How many's going to, anybody in here going to college right now? How many's having to study? Then you take the tests. Well, you keep on, brother. You're going to get that certificate. You know what that certificate is? It's reimbursement for what you sowed into. So when you think about giving, I don't want you to think about money, but yet it is sometimes about money. But how many ever went to them churches where it's all about money? I went to church one time. They took three offerings. I told them, I was broke after the first one you took, man. I went to a church one time. A lady took an offering, and the secretary went in the back, counted, came back out, and it was a lady pastor. She goes, there wasn't enough come in. Lock the door. She had the ushers lock the doors. I said, oh, Lord, this is getting rough up in here. Okay, that's not what it's about. As a matter of fact, if you've been exposed to that, somebody needs a revelation of Jesus. So when it says God loves a cheerful giver, there's got to be some reason that you get cheerful about it. Because it ain't fun just giving something away. It's not really fun if you're coming at it from a human standpoint. But when you understand the principles of God and the principles that He's obligated to honor, it will actually allow us to become happy givers. And when I say givers, I'm not talking about just in tithe or offering, but I'm talking about in His nature, in His character. You know, you can give people something beyond money, and that's a smile. Maybe that's forgiveness. And Jesus said it this way, if you forgive, you will be for. So if you sow that, if you love, you'll be loved. It's all about sowing into your future. And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse number 11, the very beginning, where men and women messed up. How many knows Adam and Eve messed up? Adam blamed it on the woman blamed it on the devil. We're still doing that stuff today. Okay, but let's look at this. Look at this. Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 1, verse number 11. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seeds, and the fruit trees that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth the grass, and the herbs yielded seed according to its kind, and the trees yielded fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God said, this is a good setup. Go. Notice, at the beginning, God made the garden. So they didn't have to sow the first garden. God gave them the garden. And so whatever we get today, I want you to realize it really comes from God. But God said, the fruit that's in the garden, the herb that's in the garden, it has seed. And from that seed, how many's ever ate an apple, but you don't eat the seeds, do you? I know there's some holistic people like, you need to eat the seed. Well, I ain't going to eat it. You need to eat the core. Well, I ain't eating that. You can have my core. Why doesn't it taste good? I don't think God wants us to eat it. I think God wants us to plant it. And so what happened in the garden, that seed that was at the very beginning was placed back in the ground, and it will continue to produce. Let's look at it. Genesis 1 and verse 26, and then it said, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, the birds, the cattle, all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Notice this. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Skipping down to verse 31. Then God saw everything that he made, and it indeed it was very good. And God saw what he did, and he said, that is very good. So when you look at Genesis, the seed, what about seed? Anybody grow up in a farming community? Anybody grow up out in the farming? That's where I grew up. Okay, I grew up. Matter of fact, I still live there. You walk out my door, there ain't nothing but cows, cornfields, and rice fields. And so I understand a little bit about that. But when I was growing up in Arkansas, my grandfather, he grew watermelons. How many like some watermelons? Woo, Lord. And we'd be eating it, and he'd say, hey, Mike, don't swallow the seed, son. You know, well, I was young. I said, why? Is it going to sprout? And he goes, no, don't swallow the seed. So we got to save the seed because that seed is next season's harvest. So we'd all eating our watermelons. And back then, they had a lot of seeds. Y'all remember those old watermelons? Nowadays, you go to HEB, they ain't even no seeds. You just eat the whole thing. Only problem about them things, you eat it, it's gone. It ain't coming, ain't nothing, it can't reproduce. And God's concept is to reproduce, because God doesn't think short term, he thinks long term. So he said, man, this is very good. So my grandfather would say, spit the seed out. So me and my brother would be spitting the seeds out, and he had a little plate, and he had a napkin that was moist. He'd lay the seeds on there, and he'd cover the seeds when we got through with moisture. He would keep those seeds. And next, matter of fact, he could sprout a seed right there. He would get it going a little bit. Then he would get it in the ground. Pretty soon that vine would come up. It had three or four watermelons, a lot of. So notice, what was placed in the ground looked totally different than what came up from the ground. There was more in abundance. It reproduced. And notice, and God said that it is very good, that concept. But Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it didn't just start with nature. Notice this, Genesis 3 and 15, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now, he's talking to the enemy, the serpent, the devil. And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now notice, God said there's seed in the vegetables, there's seed in the fruit, there's seed in the herbs, but I'm also going to place seed in humanity. And he gave the serpent notice. There's coming a day. You won this. You won this little scenario right now. But there's potential inside of mankind. And there's going to come a seed that's going to bruise. And when you look that bruise up in the Hebrew, it means to destroy, to crush, to split open, to snap in half. Basically, it says, you know what her seed's going to do? In the future, there's going to be a seed, a human seed, that's going to come forth. An offspring that come through the lineage of Adam and Eve is going to come forth and going to bruise your head. And head in Scripture means authority. Y'all know Christ is what of the church? The head. The husband is? No, we ain't going there. Okay, well, let's just leave it with Jesus. That's a whole nother deal, y'all. Christ is the... So he said that seed is going to bruise, snap off, gape open, and destroy your authority. Your headship is going to be bruised through the seed. And so when you think about seed, it's God's plan. It's God's plan for the future. Well, Pastor Mike, is this about money? No, let's look at something Jesus said. How many would agree Jesus was the seed that bruised the serpent's head? We're all in agreement of that, okay? Jesus came. Seed of woman, what happened? Mary conceived, was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Before God ever does something supernatural, he's always going to have seed. He's always got to have something put into it. Okay, so we understand that principle. How many's got kids today? Did they just show up? Now, this is the adult class. There ain't no kids in here. What about the kids? Them kids know more than we do. But how many did your wife come in one day and say, I'm going to have a baby? Well, how come you? I don't know. It just happened. How many would buy that? No, you know what happened? Inside of humanity is seed. For anything to reproduce. How many took, when you was in high school, took that anatomy class and they tried to explain that stuff to you? And they showed you that little old thing, that wiggly thing. And they're like, it'll go, and then 9 months, in 13 years, crazy. And then 17 years later, mad. Okay, but remember, the results sometimes look nothing like the seed. Actually, sowing seed can be fun. Raising that seed can be a nightmare sometimes. It can get challenging. And so what he says is, her seed is going to come back and bruise your head. And so Jesus showed up as the seed. He destroyed Satan's authority in our life. Look at your neighbor and say, Satan has no authority. Look at your other neighbor and say, quit blaming stupid on the devil. He has no authority in our life. Well, what's the devil going to do? Why don't you quit worrying about what the devil's trying to do? Number one, he's a headless person. He has no head. He may still be wiggling. You can cut the head off a snake. He'll sit there and wiggle. He'll live and try to bite you. But guess what? There's no future in that. Come on, somebody. How many is thankful today? Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. So we're not trying to figure out what the devil's doing. We're just trying to get on board for what Jesus is doing. And notice this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth or rust or thieves can break through and steal and destroy. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor thieves do break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there's your heart. Now, Adam and Eve got deceived in the garden, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That would be right or wrong. They eat of the spirit of religion that says just through right and wrong, you can become more like God. They ignored a tree called the tree of life that become Jesus Christ. And they said, if you eat of that tree, you will never die. Your future is always tied up in Jesus. When Jesus showed up, he began to change the paradigm of what mankind had been thinking for 4,000 years. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to quit thinking about things. How many's got some things in your life? How many's got too many of them? Got two or three of this, two or three of that? Now we're trying to protect it. I told my wife today, we was at the motel, and Pastor Lowe picked me up, and so now we got some luggage in our car, and we can't get it all in the trunk, and so it's in the back seat. I'm like, you better park up close to the church, woman. Somebody be peeping through them windows, see that luggage, it knocked the window out. What is it? It's the black Camry. If you want to go get it, it's a black Camry out there on the front row. Okay, but it ain't nothing but dirty clothes in that suitcase, all right? But what do? Things that we spend all our time, they start rusting. Moths eat them. Thieves break through and steal. But Jesus said, don't do that. Where's your treasure? Where your treasure is, that's where your thoughts, your heart, your thoughts, your feelings, and emotions will be tied up in. Notice, skipping down to verse 33, but seek first, same concept, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Sometimes as Christian, we think things is the kingdom. Oh man, things ain't the kingdom. The kingdom is so far beyond things. Things is just a leftover. Things we get caught up in. Things that would consume our life that we get caught up in. The Bible just calls that stuff things. But when you look at the principle, it says this, that if we'll seek first the kingdom, that means this, to seek in the Greek means to seek, to find, to think, to meditate, to reason, to seek after, to inquire of. And first means firstly, in time, place, order, importance, before, at the beginning, or first of all. He's saying, this is the concept. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. Now, how many today here need some things? So, Pastor Mike, I don't need nothing. Well, that ain't what Jesus said. He said, the Father knows you have need of these things. The Father knows you. How many are glad you wore some clothes to church? How many, the older you get, the glad you got some clothes to wear to the church? How many of your clothes getting bigger? You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, oh, he knows you need those things. He said, but that's what the world seeks after. He said, but do not worry. If you will seek first the kingdom of God, all of them things will be added to you. Pastor Mike, what about the kingdom of God? What does that mean? Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1. Let's read this real quickly. And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Notice the question. Who's the... Kind of like what the serpent did in the garden. Woman, you'll eat of that. You'll be great. You'll be like God. Notice there's a concept of deception tried to sneak in. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, he that has the most stuff. Oh, he did. Oh, okay. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I just read that religiously. Okay. Look at that. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus said and called this little child up in the midst of him and said, surely you need to be converted and become like a little child, and you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child shall be the greatest in the kingdom. So when you think about seeking first the kingdom, kind of don't worry about just maybe a money concept. Let's worry about a serving concept and a humbling concept. And I'm putting others ahead of themselves. Let's skip down to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. And Jesus called them unto himself and said, you know the rulers, the leaders, those that are in authority, lord over others, those that are great exercise authority, but this shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to be great, let him become your servant. Whoever desires to be first, let him become your slave. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Notice the concept of the one that bruised the serpent's head. How many knows when Jesus showed up, the enemy showed up? Remember up on the mountain? Hey, why don't you make these stones become bread? Why don't you go up on the pentacle? The same thing that tricked Adam and Eve in the garden, the enemy tried to sneak in. But there was a defense mode in Jesus Christ. And he knew one thing. I'm here to bruise the serpent's head. I'm here to change the dynamics of how we do life. And it is not about this. It's not about who's the greatest. It's about who can serve. And if when we begin to seek first the kingdom of God through serving, those things will be added to you. So, Pastor Mike, I'm not sure God really wants to bless me in that area. Let's read this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. It says this, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. What pleases God? Faith pleases God. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things we're hoping for when the evidence of those things hasn't been revealed in our life. That's what pleases God. The evidence pleases us. What are you believing for? I'm believing for a new house. I'm believing for a new house. I'm believing for a new house. Well, let's just start believing. I'm going to serve the kingdom. That house is coming. Ain't nothing wrong with a house. He knows you have need of those things. But if you ain't careful, the house will become your kingdom. And I promise you, if you seek first and you make things your kingdom, you'll never experience God in the dimension, because He wants to walk into your life and bruise the serpent's head in your life and really step in and embarrass the devil and let the devil know you're not ruling this thing anymore. I'm in control. They walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Faith pleases God. But notice this, for it is impossible, without faith it's impossible to please Him. But he that comes to God must first believe that what? He is. If you're struggling, well, is God real? You got to get over that. You can't take the next step without having the first step. Faith is being activated in our life because we believe that God is. If God is, then what's the next step? And that He is a rewarder of those that come to church once a month. And He is a rewarder of those that give bi-yearly. And He is a rewarder of those that come on Christmas and Easter. Oh, and Mother's Day, because mothers can be mean. No. What did it say? It says people of faith realize that God is. And because He is also a rewarder of those that are diligent about Him. And so I'm getting diligent about Him. Not that He's a rewarder, but I'm getting diligent about Him and serving and loving and giving, because I realize my future and my security for the future is tied up in Jesus Christ. And it ain't just that future over in glory land. It's tomorrow. It's my kids. It's my grandkids. It's my marriage. It's my neighborhood. It's my workplace. Amen. My future is tied up in my ability to serve and love and give back. God so loved the world He took. No. God so loved the world He gave. Giving in love or forgiveness or even with money is something that's showing our love for the things of God. The word of the Lord, when you begin to evaluate it, Hebrews 6 and 10 says this, for God is not unjust to forget your work, your labor of love, which you have shown towards His name, that's the kingdom, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. It said the only way God can ignore your service is God would have to be unjust. God is serious about our future. God is serious about our now. Matter of fact, Galatians 6 and 7 says this, be not deceived. How many of you knows the Bible says that Adam and Eve was deceived? It really said the woman was, but we ain't getting into that one. Okay, all right. But the thing is, and we know mankind's a big thing in the Scripture. And give my lovely wife right there a good hand to clap. She puts up with me. We just celebrated 30 years of marriage, y'all. Amen. She getting prettier every day. Man, it's just, ain't it neat how God can just bless that stuff? And that's all real there. That ain't nothing fake. Okay, so Galatians 6 and 7 says, do not be deceived. If you don't think this is real, deception has stepped into your life. If you don't believe the tree of life is better than the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that's deception. He says, be not deceived. God will never be mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's a long passage on sowing and reaping, but it ends at it kind of concludes at verse 9. It says, let us not be grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap if we do not faint. Okay, if we do not faint or give up. So he's saying this, let us not be weary in doing good, well doing. Because there is a season we're going to reap if we don't faint. How many knows the only thing that stops our harvest is if we quit? Well, you just go ahead and quit because that seed's already in the ground. Someone else will eat your harvest. Someone else will enjoy your harvest. Someone else will enjoy your labor. But what God wants us to do, and I want to encourage y'all tonight at today at New Life Fellowship, somebody needs to not grow weary in well-doing. Your due season, your time of increase in harvest is upon you. Don't give up now. Go out there. Today it just looks like bare ground, but give it another day or two. Those sprigs will start coming up. God will never be mocked. Well, I don't know if my harvest will come. It'll look bad on me if it don't. No, if it doesn't, it's going to look bad on God. God took control of the harvest. He just said, you take care of the seed. You just plant it. God ain't going to let himself look bad. He wants himself to look good. When you look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said it this way, give, and it's gone. That's what a lot of Christians think. We need to write a Bible on what Christians really think the Bible says. How many of you read it, stuff into it? They don't even say that. But what did Jesus say? This ain't the devil. This ain't Satan. This ain't deception. This is the way, the truth, and the give, and it shall be given back to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Not like them tater chips you get with the bags this tall and you get four tater chips. Pressed down, shaken together, and in other words, you can't even receive it all. Somebody else is going to leave. You don't have the leftovers. Running over, he will cause men to give into your bosom. But the same measure that you use it or met out, it's coming back to you. Do you not realize Jesus stopped one day and they were complaining and they said this, Lord, we've left all. You know what Jesus said? Don't worry, you got a mansion in glory land. Nope. You got pearly gates, the streets of gold. You're just going to suffer through this life. You know what Jesus stopped? He said, hey, let me tell you something right now. You're complaining about giving all. You've left all to follow me. Let me tell you right now, you're going to receive more in this life. You're going to receive more in this life and in the world to come, eternal life. He was just stopping and said, let me get this in check. It ain't just about over in glory land. The kingdom of God is so much bigger than walls of jasper or streets of gold or a mansion. Friend, I'm going to tell you, in glory, I don't even think I would go to a house. I would just stand in the presence of God from daylight to dark, just like they do in the book of Revelation, and we would cast our crowns at his feet and say, these crowns ain't our crowns, they're your crowns, and you are worthy of everything we have. When you look at planting is a beautiful thing in the church. How many's ever worked by yourself? Don't you hate that? Mowing your yard by yourself. Isn't it nice when somebody else is weed eating? Somebody else got the blower. Man, you're just like, I'm mowing. And then you get through mowing. Ain't nothing else to do. Ain't that awesome? Well, that's what the kingdom of God is about. That's the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. This is what it says. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and they were kind of carnal because they were fighting over who was their preacher. You know, them people were messed up as we are. Okay, but I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. Finally, Paul just stopped and said, look, I have planted. Apollos has watered. But who gives the increase? We give the increase. We don't give. The increase ain't in our hands. The sowing and watering and planting is what we do. Increase is what God does. Notice this. And so them that neither who plants is anything or who waters is anything, but God gives the increase. And he's saying, it's not about who we are. We're nothing. But God increases based on what we do. Notice the next verse. Now he that planteth and he that watereth, they're one. They're united and they're in unity. Each one will receive his own reward according to his
own labor. Now God's Paul's kind of bringing it home. For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. We are God's building. In other words, we are what God is doing everything through. But when we sow, God is always going to increase. How many would like an increase in your marriage? I was talking to my friend the other day. His wife left him. He said, my wife left me. I said, what happened? He said, well, she ran off with a guy that was giving her roses and cards and telling her that he loved her. I said, well, I don't blame her. I said, you ever do that? He said, no. I said, ain't your wife's fault. You ran her off. Well, I'm the head of the house. Oh, she showed you who was the head of the house. Because you got out of the kingdom. Hello? You want to be treated right? We've got to learn to treat others right. Everything we sow, smile at people. You know what? Anybody ever smile at somebody in Walmart and they kind of got a frown and all of a sudden they smile? They don't even know they're smiling. Like, hi. Hello, how you doing? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. When you begin to look at sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping is a long-term investment. And you drive up now at New Life Fellowship, the nice building right here on 1604. Everything's growing up around it. The nice coffee bar and fellowship hall. But that ain't where it started, was it, Dwayne? I'll never forget when they came to town the very first time. Didn't even have a building. Started in the strip mall. And there's preachers today say, man, I'd like to have that. Well, would you be willing to sow for 25 years to see that? See, sometimes what other people have, you don't see the sacrifice behind it that caused them to be able to receive it. And you got to realize that Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Tammy, they and the board and the elders and this church, they didn't set out to build buildings. They set out to love people and promote the kingdom. All that other stuff is just stuff that God adds to us just so we can reproduce. And I'm going to tell you, it's a lot easier to come here than that storefront on Coronado Square. Try to explain it. Like, where do you go? You go down there, then you turn. You go down the hill. Then you go up in there behind it. Then it's over in the corner. And people's like, I don't know where you're talking about. When you say on 1604 right across from Randolph Air Force Base, people's like, I got you. Why? Because God gives the increase. I have a friend of mine, Victor. Victor started coming to church. Sometimes it's long-term investments and you see little things along the way. But Victor started coming to church. He didn't have nothing. Been locked up. Had some children. His wife. Things were strange. They were separated. Back together. Separated. But he started coming to church about 6 months ago. And he never missed. Never missed. Just come to church. We had the church van, had to go pick them up because they didn't have a vehicle. And the other night, he come in on Wednesday night, Bible study and prayer and our fellowship, our small group. And he goes, Pastor Mike, need to pray. Have everybody pray tonight. There's a guy in my neighborhood selling a Toyota Highlander SUV, and he's offered it to me, and I'm going to try to get him up with the money. I said, man, we're going to pray. We're going to believe that. I believe God's going to honor what you've been doing, Victor. He came back the next Wednesday night, and I was there a little early, and I was looking outside, and this red Toyota Highlander pulled up. Nice. I'm talking nice. Like, nicer than what I drive. Parked and walked. I mean, I went out there. I'm like looking for the dents, you know. You know what we do? We're skeptics looking under. I bet the frame's been. It's been totaled out. You know how we are? Got a salvage title. We got all that philosophy in our head from humanity. And I look at that thing, and I look inside, and it's totally clean. He goes, Pastor Mike, you ain't going to believe it. I said, what? He said, all the neighbors started coming to him when they found out he was going to sell it to me and started offering him more money and more money until the point there was no way I could afford that vehicle. And he said, I told my wife, it's just not going to happen. He said, then the guy came to his house, knocked on his door. He said, Victor, I want to tell you something right now. He said, there's 7 or 8 people trying to, you know, give me more money for that. But because I want to bless you, I'm going to just give you the Toyota Highlander. It ain't going to cost a dime.
I looked at Victor and I said, Victor, remember this scripture to the day you die. If God be for you, who can be against you? There is rewards from God that no one can ever take away from you. And if you said, Pastor Mike, man, I'm just new at this. I don't even know how to sow. Just start loving people. Because I told Victor, I said, you know why he gave you that vehicle, don't you? He said, no, I really don't. I said, because you've changed. You got a better attitude. He said, matter of fact, I have been treating him real nice. I have been kind to him. I said, that right there is seed. It was sowed from your spirit, but it come back as a financial blessing. Say, Pastor Mike, I didn't know this growing up. No one taught me about sowing and reaping. I was ignorant to it. I grew up in a concept where everything was a sacrifice. If you love God, you sacrifice. We had church like every night of the week. Did any of y'all grow up like that? Oh, like 7 weeks of revival. Everybody got saved the last month, had to get resaved this month. I mean, it was like, the preacher's getting baptized every other Sunday. I mean, but they taught us commitment. And man, I started having things happen in my life, and I'm like, I didn't expect it because no one ever taught me this. I thought you just sacrifice to the day you die and you got a mansion. Like, God, kill me now. But stuff started coming in my life, and one day, the Holy Spirit said, that didn't come into your life because of today. That come into your life from years gone by. My daddy was a pastor, and he traveled all over the country and pastored little churches. And one day, the Holy Spirit said, that's your daddy's seed that you're reaping. And it's got to the point in my life, I told my wife, I said, it's almost embarrassing. You don't know what, you know, you don't want know if you need to tell somebody about the blessings of God or not. It's like 2 weeks ago, my wife, she packs. She's got a 9mm right there in that purse. Don't jack with her. She can shoot too. And that's why I walk a straight line. The guy told me, he said, you need to quit walking a straight line, because if she's shooting at you, you're dead. Run, you know, like. I told her, I said, baby, just trust God. We don't need no nine. You don't need no pistol. She said, you never know when Jesus is going to need some backup, son. But 2 weeks ago, I told her, I said, you know what? We don't have a gun at the house. You keep your gun on you. I said, it would be nice. People's crazy now. People just break into your house. And man, we're so poor. If somebody broke in our house, we as a kid left a $20 bill on the table. They felt sorry for it. But I said, well, you know, it'd be nice to have a gun. We went to a graduation deal at the high school, and they're doing a little fundraiser. My wife bought a $20 little ticket thing to support the graduations that's coming up this year. Support it. $20 deal. You know, just like 3 days after that, they called and said, you just want a 9mm 17 Glock. I was like, what? Because I didn't know she had bought the ticket. You know how them women are. She was sowing seed. She didn't know I needed it. I wanted. I just wanted some. I'm not going to go pay sick. I called. I said, how much that thing costs? That y'all retailing that out there for? He said, Mike, that's a $600 gun. How many rifle tickets y'all buy? I said, I didn't even know we bought one. Shannon said, I only bought one, $20. I said, Pastor Mike, is that how it works? I don't know how it works exactly. But I know one thing. If we seek first the kingdom, he said, he'll add all these things unto you. Is it okay if I just share a few little stories real quick? I know we're running a little over. This ain't to blow me up. This is to blow God up. We got ready. We was doing some traveling and helping in some churches, and we moved back to where I grew up in El Campo, and there was a lady in town. She had no children, and she had been coming to church for a long time, and she had, her husband was elderly. She said, Pastor Mike, would y'all please think about, you know, just moving out on my place and if y'all would build something or put something there. She was a very humble lady, and she said, maybe a single wide or double wide.
I said, man, that ain't no problem with me. She said, yeah, I want you to do that because I'm getting old. I'm getting scared. So we bought us a double wide. Hey, they're nice. You get a lot of bang for your buck, I guarantee you that. We knew we was uptown when they brought it in two pieces. It's like, whew. Well, in a couple of years, she was getting older. And a guy come and told me, he says, Mike, do you know in her will, if she passes away, that's paid off? I said, really? I didn't know that. She never told me that. But every morning, I'd go over and help her change her husband's diaper. Every evening, I'd go back over. We'd turn him and change his diaper. I didn't know. I was just doing it because I knew it was the right thing to do. I said, well, if she's going to pay this thing off, I ain't paying them stupid taxes every year. I just signed it over to the church. I told her, I said, I want to give this to the church. Within 1 year, that lady passed away, and that trailer was paid off. Not only that, she gave us 10 acres and a two-story house and $250,000 to go to the church. And I said, God, how in the world did that happen? He said, that happened because you was willing to change diapers for 2 years. He said, what I do is pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I want you to realize that's what I do. It started in my life. I didn't know what it was. There was a church in this town, not close to here, but we was a part of years ago. They were in a building fund. How many know y'all in a building fund right now? And I'm going to tell you, it cost a lot to just do that right out there. You could build about 3 houses probably for that. No joke. It's crazy when you go commercial. But me and my wife was in church, and this preacher said, we need $1,000. We need $1,000. This ain't about money, so if you're thinking that, just don't get caught up in that. I looked over at my wife. I said, we got $1,000? She goes, we do, but we've been saving it. You know, it's for this. It was for taxes is what it was. And don't spend your tax money. Don't do some of that stuff I've done. She said, that's exactly what we have in the bank. There was about 600 people in this church setting that night. He said, I'm telling you right now, God said if you give $1,000, we're not raising money. Please don't be thinking that. I'm trying to build your faith. He said, there's somebody here give $1,000 tonight. I looked around. I said, there's 600 people here. It's definitely not me. Nobody would do anything. He said, I'm telling you. And then he said this. There's someone here today that if you give $1,000, God just spoke to me. You have it. You don't think you can give it. But if you give it, you're never going to miss it. And then he said this. You're going to sow your way out of your famine. I looked over at my wife and I looked around. Ain't nobody moving. Now, he done put the carrot way out there. Now, if we give it, we ain't going to miss it. Now, I can get selfish right there. I told Shannon, I said, let's write that check for $1,000. I took it up there and we give it in the building fund. That was Sunday night. About church started at 6. It's probably about 7 o'clock Sunday night. I went to work the next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. My boss walked in and says, Mike, we've been talking over the weekend and we want to give you $1,000 a month raise. You say, Pastor, now you're talking, it's about money. No, it's about building the kingdom. But the principle is, if you will build the kingdom, God will build your future. Today, I stand before you as a man with no retirement fund, no savings account, but through other means, God has already secured my future, my savings, my retirement, and everything. And God said, Mike, don't ever worry about it. You just preach the kingdom and let people know I want to bless them. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning or this afternoon. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't about money. Look at your other neighbor and say, but if that offended you, you about money. I'm not asking anybody to do something.
I'm just saying, embrace these principles and don't do it for the stuff. Because if you're seeking God for the stuff, you may totally miss what God wants to give you. How many believes God wants to bless us today? Why don't we lift our hands up to heaven right now, Jesus? You know this church. You know this ministry. You know they're serving. You know their love, their compassion. You know every member. You know every family. You know every guest here today. And Lord, we're not here to promote giving and getting. We're here to promote sowing and reaping. And Lord, what I'm seeing in my children and even in my grandchildren today, I realize has nothing to do with me, my planning, but has everything to do with you and your divine order and your divine guidance. Do not be, I feel there's like a little bit of weariness. Do not be weary. Do not be weary. You do not know how many times I wanted to give up. You don't know how many times I wanted to walk away and just go get a job and say, forget missions, forget church planning, forget the kingdom. And the only reason I didn't was because I knew God was a good, good God. There's healing in this house today. There's healing right now. Healing for emotions. There's religious healing coming to this house right now. You've been hurt by churches. You've been hurt by religion. And God said, this is the place that your spirit will be healed. Your emotions will be healed. Your finances will be healed. Your body will be healed. Your marriage will be healed. Your family will be healed. And your future will be restored. Don't be weary in well-doing. Your due season is quickly approaching. Could we give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Let's give Him a hand clap. We love you. God bless you.